Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bar Buddies, Tales from the Bar. Today, I am here with my guest, Kaylee Spivey. You may know her from TikTok. You should know her from TikTok. Her TikToks are great. So I will give her the floor to introduce herself. You can give me your name, date of birth, social security number, 3 digits on the back of your credit card, whatever identity stealing information you are willing to part with. The floor is yours.
Hi, I'm Kaylee Spivey. The last 4 digits of my credit card and all the ones before that are, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, hi, I make music. I'm 23. I like pop music. I'm queer, and I don't know. That's kind of a good little summary of me right now.
I think that's amazing. So I ask everybody this very simple question. What is your favorite 90s bop?
90s bop. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, LFO, Summer Girls. I love that song. It's like, they remind me of NSYNC, but they're more like, almost like lo-fi, but it's a really good song.
You are the first person to have an answer, like, right off the top of your head. So, congratulations.
I love 90s.
90s is it. 90s is the shits. I love it so much.
Yeah, so what's yours then? Wait, what's yours?
Mine is usually the thumpa thwongin, however you pronounce it. They used it in I think they used it in 10 Things I Hate About You. Anything from Letters to Cleo, too. Love
them. That's such a good movie, too. That's such a good movie. Man, how do you not know 90s bops? You know, everybody's got to know 90s bops, you know?
I've asked this question, I don't even know. I've lost count because when I first started doing interviews, I started asking everybody that question as like an icebreaker. And I watch people's face like pale.
They're like,
this isn't an easy question. I said, this is the easiest question I'm going to ask the hardest question I'm going to ask because by comparison, everything else is easier. So we've gotten the hardest question out of the way.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah. So how long have you been making music?
I have been making music since I was 15 and I'm 23 now. So probably 7-8 years about. I haven't been actually posting my music though until I think I was 18. So maybe 5 years of being an actual published artist.
That's awesome. So I also wanted to ask how many instruments you play because I've seen you play the drums on TikTok and I know that you play guitar. Is there like, and I think you have a piano, if I remember.
And a bass. So I love, when I was learning guitar, I jumped around from instruments a lot. I actually wish I started with piano, but I did not. So guitar is my main thing. It's like my best instrument. Piano is probably my second best. Bass is, no, I'm going to go drums first, actually. And then I play bass guitar. I also play ukulele. And then I guess I sing.
You're your own band.
I literally am, too. That's so funny.
Because you were in a band before this, right?
Yes, it's called Small Talks. I was actually the only member of Small Talks, but I went under the name Small Talks, and I would like hire on friends of mine to come play for tours and stuff. So everyone thought it was a band, but the whole time that was also just me.
So why did you make the decision to go from Small Talk to just releasing under your name?
Mostly because of the fact that I really, really wanted to do pop music, and I felt like with everything I was doing with Small Talks, we kind of got like sort of stuck in like the indie like DIY scene. Like it kind of felt like because of like the name, because I was Small Talks and people thought I was like a band and stuff and they didn't realize I was one individual person doing it all. I felt like it would be a lot harder to kind of break through to more people. So I was like, if I just like straightforwardly say like, hi, I'm Kaylee Spivey, I make music, this is who I am, and just kind of like be myself and like to the point of like literally changing my name and just completely being like, yo, this is who I am and I'm a songwriter. I felt like it was going to be easier to like just, you know, get my music out to wherever I wanted it to go and open up a lot more avenues than I guess people would assume a band could get, I suppose.
Because you guys, I think I saw you played at Warped Tour when I was doing my research.
Yes. That was like our first show, like our first real show.
What was that like? Because I'm from Cleveland, but I've never been to a Warped Tour before.
Really?
Yeah. Because by the time I started getting into like concert photography and stuff like that, they were like, no more Warped Tour. And I was like, oh.
I kind of hope it comes back, but. I don't know. Warped Tour is cool. I went as like I think I want to say I was 16 when I went for the first time, like as a just a like going, and it was really really cool. It's like everything you can expect from a festival. Like everybody's having a good time. Everybody's just excited to see their favorite bands. But when we played it, we actually won a competition, like a some kind of talent based voting competition. So people voted for the bands, and we did like a little mini tour. And I had like little business cards, and I called radio stations. I put like literal chalk, like saying vote for Small Talks in people's driveways that, you know, of course allowed me to, but like I promoted so hard, and I was like, please vote for Small Talks. Like, we're this band, we're trying to do this. And somehow we won this amazing competition. So we got to get like a whole big bus, right? We were touring in like a Ford Explorer. So that's just like a little minivan kind of car. And then all of a sudden we have a driver and a huge bus with beds and like a shower. And this is my cat, Tony.
Hello, Tony. I see there's another one in another cat in the back.
Yeah, that's Frankie. He's in my music video, one of them.
I also have a cat. He's sleeping on my bed. His name is George.
I love him. I love George. I love him already. But yeah, basically, we just won a really crazy competition, and it was all sponsored by Skullcandy, this headphone company. So we literally had a bus, tour bunk beds, a shower on our bus. We've never had that kind of treatment before, ever. But because it was such a competition-based thing, like, they paid for all of it, and we were just, like, spoiled rotten rock stars for, like, a couple weeks of work tour. It was insane. We also played the main stage, which was mind-blowing, too, because, you know, we're a small band, so nobody's going to kind of like look for Small Talks on the bill, but people would go to that big main stage to wait for the band that they were going to see. So they'd end up seeing us too. And it was a really, really cool experience for a band that had like no following yet at all. Like we were so fresh to the scene, but like incredibly ambitious. So
that sounds awesome. So if you could headline a festival with like anybody, who would you want to be on the bill with?
You got me on that one. That's a hard one. Oh man, there's so many options, you know. I think it would be really, really, really cool to headline a festival. It, you know, you ask those questions and I'm like, I can't decide if I want to do like the smart business move or the like what would I enjoy.
Give
move.
Me both. I'll take both.
Okay. So like for business, I feel like it would be really like helpful if I opened for somebody like Girl in Red, because we have similar like audiences and stuff, so I feel like that would be really good. I think a lot of their audience would like me. But for my own enjoyment, I would want to open up for like probably the 1975 and Role Model, and then maybe even Megan Thee Stallion, just because, like, I just think it'd be funny.
Megan Thee Stallion, she is killing it. Ugh, I have all of her, well, not all of her songs, but I do have, like, a good portion of her music on my Bad Bitches playlist. Body is the one that I listen to in the shower when I'm like, I need to hype myself up, so I was, like, listening to it today.
There you go.
Always with the bad bitch. And, you know, WAP's a classic. That's gonna go down in history.
Yes. Can you imagine, like, oh, man, I play, like, I don't know, one of my songs, and then WAP comes on right after. That'd be crazy. Oh, I'd love that, though. I would love it.
That's like my Spotify shuffle. Sometimes it'll be sad, 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 Megan Thee Stallion, sad, happy music, Cardi B. Who else do I have on there? Doja Cat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. They came through this, like, past year with bops.
Yeah. Did you learn any of, like, the TikTok dances for any of their songs?
Oh, I could try. I don't even remember. I cannot dance. I even took lessons and tried to become a dancer so I could make my own TikTok dances for my songs. I literally did that for a whole summer. I still cannot dance. I don't know what's wrong with my body, but like, it does not want to do those things. But I tried. I really tried. There was some dance I did that like, I can't even remember, but it was like, doo doo. Like, I have no idea.
Oh, was that the Renegade or something like that?
Yeah, something. Like, I literally have no idea. Just, I remember, like, this, and then, like, the whoa. But, like, I can't even hit the whoa right. It's, like, so bad.
I just learned how to do the one part of Motive where you, like, swing your arm, and then you do, like, the tornado thing.
I love that. I wanted to learn that so bad. I tried. I can't. I want to, though.
It was the tornado arms is what got me.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, it's like so cool. It looks like really powerful for some reason. Like I watch his videos and I'm like, okay.
And I
Like,
go,
okay.
and you see the girls and you're like, I remember why I'm gay now. You're like, I remember.
Absolutely, like 100%.
So, speaking of TikTok, how do you feel like, do you feel like TikTok has like helped in the like music wise, like getting your stuff out there, or just like an increase of streams, or is it just more for like to like dick around and have fun?
Oh, I don't think I would be on TikTok. Well, I probably would just because I really have a lot of fun with it, but I don't think I would have ever joined if it wasn't for music. My manager actually texted me and was like a couple months before COVID really took off and TikTok really took off. My manager was like, "Hey, you should start posting TikToks. I think you'd be good at it." And I was like, "Okay, like why not?" And I started trying it and I found out that I really like making videos. Like it's funny. I was like a big fan of Vine and stuff when that was out. Oh man, I wish I was a Viner back then, but I like absolutely missed that boat. But I loved it. I loved Vine. And then this comes out and I kind of started to see the similarities. I was like, this is actually really funny. Like this isn't just like, I don't know, like just dancing or just like young people, like I don't know, really, really young people on the app. Like it's a lot of stuff. So I don't know. I feel like it has helped a lot. I would not, without COVID, honestly, COVID even helped a little bit too because everybody was piled in on their cell phones. So they had nothing else to do besides, find new artists or go on TikTok. So all of that kind of came together to create this like perfect storm for me. And now I have this kind of internet presence and I came out as a pop artist, like a solo artist, all around the right time because like new people were able to find me, and I don't know if I would have been half as successful like doing that transition from Smalltalks to Kaylee Spivey if I didn't have TikTok. Like, I honestly think it made a big difference in my career as an independent artist because I don't have, the money to go out and like pay for ads or anything, and I don't have a record label. So, TikTok really just helped with that organic reach, like reaching people without even. I like no money, just being myself and like making a little video,
Yeah, I was a baby Viner. I think I was like 17 because I just turned 22. So I think I was like 17 and I would make like really like cute like aesthetic videos to like music and stuff. Now, it's me just freaking out about Criminal Minds, and me just being like a dumbass. The two times I've gone like viral, like it's been me just being absolutely like stupid. And I was like, don't encourage this because I'm gonna keep doing it.
I think you should. I love that kind of content. I love like super seemingly niche content or whatever. I don't know if that's how you say that either. I think it's niche,
I
but
don't even know.
I'm not surprised about the aesthetic videos though, because your room, I was looking at it. I was like, how does your camera look so nice and your room looks so nice? I was just like, that is very like, you literally look like you're in a little movie, like one of those Netflix films.
I have an external camera that I got, so it's like a vlogging camera, and they were like, you can plug it in to use it as a webcam, and I was like, ding.
Well, it looks great. Like, it looks cool. You
Thank
literally
you.
look like you just jumped out of a Netflix film, like, very set
Yes.
like.
Yes. Because my wall is full of like art, and when I was in college, this is how I did my wall. So I just kind of brought it back home when I moved home.
I love it.
Thank you. It takes a long time to color grade, but I could do it because a bitch got ADHD, so it's going to be the only thing that I focus on forever.
There you go. Those hyperfixations come through.
Do you have a particular hyperfixation right now?
No, actually. I'm actually in the weirdest. I typically am that way though. Like I have like a lot of stuff, but like this time I'm in a very weird place this week where everything is just like kind of very much flowing and I do not know why, but I'm like, okay, let's do
Speak it
it.
into the universe and let it happen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, I'll let go. Universe, you do whatever you want this week. So like my brain is kind of just like very woo, not even like hyperfixated on anything much.
That's smart. Mine's always like stationery and like pens and highlighters and stuff like that. I have so many. Do I use them? Not really, but they're pretty.
I don't know if this is hyperfixation, but I collect books like a lot. Like I have a lot of books and it's very specific books that have like niche, I don't know, niche subjects or something. It's kind of reflecting the Aquarius in me, if you want to pull that card, but like random, like very niche conspiracy subjects or like life advice that you wouldn't typically know, or like souvenirs. Like I have a ton of postcards with pictures of like famous celebrities. Like I have one where Kurt Cobain is like, but it's like very specific. Like there's a picture of Kurt Cobain forever ago where he's like having a breakdown after a show and he's in like his dirty Converse and like his blue jeans and he's got his hands like this, like in his hair, and like he's crying and it's like super, super raw. Like I, like it's almost like something you probably wouldn't even take a picture of because it's so like he's looks so upset. But like I keep that, and I have another one of Patti Smith that was taken by Robert Mapplethorpe, and they had, I don't know if you know anything about them, but they've had like, they had an incredible life together, like a whole experience as artists, because they're both artists, and this really strange dynamic. There's a book about it. I read it, but I have, it's a very special picture because you know who took it, and it's Robert Mapplethorpe, and she's like standing there, and Patti looks so masculine, and I always love that about Patti Smith, because she perfectly captured masculine and feminine, and she rocks it. And like that, I can relate to that. And I just like, I love her like intense features. And I definitely collect little niche things like that a lot, like a lot.
So other than that, like what life advice do you get from those books? Cause now I'm curious.
So I actually have a book called I Am, and typically a lot of it has to do with identity. Like I have a lot of issues with identity, I think. And so I get these books that say things like, they help you like practice, basically practice getting into a mindset where you don't, you're not so easily swayed or influenced. And you kind of have this like sturdy core center where you like know who you are. And it's actually funny because it's not even about knowing who you are. It's about letting go of the idea that you know yourself and being okay with that. So like accepting just the complete raw humanity of like the human experience, just like accepting all of it. Cause I have a hard time. Like sometimes I get like really scared, and it's almost like, you know, life is like this elevator and it just keeps going up and down and up and down. And I just want it to stop sometimes. And I'll like, you know, press all the buttons. I'm like, stop, stop here. Let me off. And I can't get off. And these books kind of all just tell me like, just keep going, like just go up and down, like learn to enjoy the view, like change your elevator doors to be all glass and look around you, like stuff like that.
That's really interesting. I don't have a lot of books in my room because I live in a sardine can, but I have a huge bin in the basement. But my local library has like a bookstore with like donated books and stuff, so I completed my whole Harry Potter collection, I think, for like $25.
That's a find. I was about total to say, that's a find.
Yeah, and I even have an original copy of the Philosopher's Stone that I found. So
that is so cool.
And then J.K. Rowling had to go and do what she did, but
I was about to say, she sucks. She really came through with that disappointment right there.
Like, that's the hill you're going to die on? That's that's the one?
I know. It's really sad, too, because so many people that she literally, like, broke the heart of, like, loved her books and found safety, you know, identity in Harry Potter. And then she just has to go and say that and make them feel so disappointed in her. Like, that sucks. I hope I never, ever say any. I mean, obviously, I would never say anything of that nature. But, like, I really hope that I never, ever disappoint anyone that believes in me like that. Like, that's so, I just can't imagine that. I just can't imagine that feeling of that. And I can't imagine how she did it so bravely. And then did it again. Yeah. She was like, I'm not taking it back. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
I was watching. I wanted to get blocked by her and I didn't. So I did a lot of blocking, but I didn't get blocked and I was so upset.
That is so funny. You're like, I wanted to. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Pisces. Are you an Aries? I am a Pisces sun and an Aries moon and a Scorpio rising.
That is an awesome combo. That is awesome.
I heard it's a very scary combination.
It is scary, but if you can master it, that's awesome. I have such a weird combo. Mine is Aquarius, Sun. My moon is in Scorpio, which is just problematic. And then my rising is Libra. So it's just like packaged together, like two completely almost opposite signs. You got the detached Aquarius that wants to like solve all of humanity's problems. And then you have Scorpio, who's going to be overly emotional and maybe even like, I don't know, all the negative sides of a Scorpio, and then you have the rising Libra that's going to package it all with like a beautiful bow and be like, we're fine, we're good, everything's balanced.
I think the way that it was explained to me, because I don't know that much about astrology, I'm still like learning, but since the Pisces is the oldest sign in the zodiac, I'm very old and wise, but because I have an Aries and they're the youngest sign, I'm like a little bit of a dumbass. And then I'm a Scorpio because I'm chaotic, so I'm like I'm a very like chaotic good type of person.
Yeah, I can get that vibe. I can get that vibe off of what you're saying. Like that's
I'm glad really that it translates.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool though. Like super cool. I love that combo. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of my natal chart means. Still working on it, but there's like a stellum and like Pisces or something like that, which. I don't know. I have it written down somewhere so I don't forget, but I don't know what it means.
Pisces is a great sign, though. Like, seriously, I don't think I've ever met a Pisces that doesn't, at least to some degree, like, catch the attention of the room when they talk. Like, they always have something very, like, you know, like, something you can really, like, connect to in their words. That's really whether it be whatever degree, bad or good, it still is there.
My main friend group, we're in a group chat, and it's two Pisces and two Cancers, so it's just all water signs.
Oh my god, I want to see that group chat. It's probably like so emotionally driven.
It's me bullying my friend Nolan, and then my friend Rory, who's also a Pisces. She's like, guys, should I finish my schoolwork or should I watch Netflix? And we're like, your education's important. And then it's my other friend Julia, and she's just there to like. Cause trouble sometimes. We're called the Chaos Bunch for a reason.
I was about to say, what is the name of this group chat? I need to know.
We have the Chaos Bunch, and then we have another one, and it changes sometimes to be like, who needs therapy? So right now it's like, get Nolan some therapy.
That's so funny. My group chats look the same. We've had some weird ass names for mine. I'm like crying now. Also, I'm so sorry. Can you see it? I'm, like, literally crying, but just because of my allergies.
I had that. That happens to me every time, like, around, like, the beginning of the summer when all the pollen starts, and I'll get, like, really, like, congested, and then I'll get, like, a fever. So I'm really, like, not looking forward to it because then people are going to think I have COVID.
Yeah. I literally just look like I'm having, like, a chaotic, like, breakdown because I'm, like, totally fine. I'm, like, happy. I'm smiling, but I'm just, like, tears, like, on one side of my face.
What a fucking vibe.
A mood
that is
and make it their wallpaper, make it a meme.
Yeah, when you cry but you're happy, that's like an astrology that feels like an astrology meme.
When you're an Aquarius with a Scorpio moon.
So I did want to ask you what it is like being queer and in the music industry, because I talk to a lot of people, but I'm trying to do more on like queer artists because that's important to me. I have my little bi jellyfish. So especially, I know that it's a very male driven and dominated and cis type of world. What is it? How do you navigate that?
That is very true. Basically for me, when I first started, I think I was really kind of angry. I was just mad about it. I was mad about a lot of things. I was mad that mostly men, I mean, I would walk into venues, and keep in mind, I'm the only member of Small Talks. I'm the only person who has connection to the management. Like, my band were people who were literally, they would audition and come on tour with me. They didn't know anything about the project or the contracts or like anything like that. Like, that, all the business, everything about the band itself is me. And so, and I'm not saying that to like undermine their work or anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that because it's like, I walk into a venue and just like you would look for the manager of a business, you should look for the manager of the band when you're like going to discuss something or ask about the show or get some kind of like, you know, information. I would walk in and the people would just walk right by me and look for the first man that they saw in my band and ask them questions. And it's funny because they would just be like, I don't know, like, talk to her. And then they would act, like, shocked. They'd be like, oh, wait, like, you're in charge? And I'm like, yes, I am. Like, there are so many times where I would, like, drive the van and just people would be confused that there's, a small girl driving the van. And it's just, like, it's really frustrating because you do so much, like, hard work and stuff, and people have this weird idea that, like, you are not important. Like, there are times I've walked into venues and people have assumed that I am a girlfriend of somebody in my band and I'm carrying their gear. There have been times I've, like, been told not to go into the show because they thought I was a fan, like a fangirl for the one of the bands that we were opening up for. And they were, like, trying to be like, no, like, no fans allowed, like, stay out. And I'm like, I literally need to go sound check. Like, I need to go do my job. And then as far as being queer goes, I was afraid for, like, a long time to talk about it because I was raised in South Carolina, and that's a very conservative red state. So homophobia is everywhere. It's like some people act like it's gone because maybe they see a lot of like happiness toward it on the internet, but it's not gone at all. Like, it's not gone at all. And that's why I think it's so important now that I am talking about it, because I used to be afraid and I kind of let people tell me that it wasn't important or that it was inappropriate to talk about because they just didn't want to hear it. Like, they just didn't want to hear me say I'm a queer artist. Like, they didn't want to let me have that space to be that person. And they, like, a lot of people still say, even sometimes every now and then, like, most people really care about it. Like, the people who do follow me, because I don't want to just talk about the people who give me problems, because there's such a huge community of people who don't. And that problem community keeps going smaller and smaller, you know? And basically, I just started thinking, like, you know, sexuality really does affect me so much in my day to day. And I was silenced by people who said, don't talk about it. Like, it's not important, or it's inappropriate, or I'm straight. I don't go around talking about my sexuality when I talk about what I do. Why is it relevant? Blah, 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 blah. And then, like, I listen to songs like WAP and so much music that literally is centered around sex, like sex and stuff like that, and sensuality and their sexuality. It's just that they don't have to say this is a straight song. Like, they don't have to put that label in front of it so it seems, you know, casual. It doesn't seem, you know, I don't know, whatever they think it is when I say I'm a queer artist. I have to put that label there so that people who are like me can find me, because I'm not the normal. Like, not yet, at least. I'm not what's expected. And so I put that label there, and for some reason there are, like, homophobic people who just are like, oh, you're like, you're making it your personality, or why are you talking about that with your music? And it's like, why does it bother you? Like, what's your problem with it? So, I mean, I definitely have, like, a strong standpoint on it, but I've only gotten louder and louder about it, and it makes me happier and happier every time I do, because I needed that when I was a kid. I wish I had what I was, like, what I am today. I wish I had that when I was a kid. So I will continue to be loud and remind everyone that I am queer all the time until it becomes the normal and I can just, like, make a song about, like, whatever I want without somebody saying, whoa, wait, you're gay, you know, like.
I feel the same way. Like, I was raised Catholic and I went to Catholic school. And my big joke was, you know, I tried to pray the gay away, but I half-assed it like I did everything else, so now I'm bi.
Oh, that's so fun. That's, like, really fun.
It's the only gay joke my mom has ever laughed at that I've made. So
I love it.
It's my best one. But I came out when I was 20. And so I haven't been out for, like, too long. And I went to my first Pride, like, 2 years ago. But I came out in a magazine because I don't do anything, you know, normal or half-assed. So
That's cool. That's cool as shit.
So when I talk about it now, like, it's not the most important thing about me, but it is an important thing about me, especially now because I'm getting back into, like, the dating scene, and that's a whole other, that's a whole other thing. But, like, to be like, hey, you know, this is who I am. Like, you're going to have to be cool with that.
Yeah.
But girls scare me. Girls scare me a lot.
I hear that a lot, actually, from, like, people who are bisexual. They get, like, a little bit, like, for some reason, like, I guess, like, nervous to get into the same sex. I almost think it has something to do with, like, I don't know.
Internalized, I think, like, stuff that I have to work through.
Well, because people shame a lot of bisexual people. Like, they're like, you have to pick one. And it's like, no, you really don't. Like, you really, really don't. And I think that, like, they almost feel this pressure sometimes, or at least some of my friends have. I can speak for them. I don't actually know. But, like, it's like they feel this pressure to, they can't, like, date same sex because they're, like, invalidating this part of them, and they can't date this person because they're invalidating this other part of them. And it's just, like, I don't know. I think people treat it weird. Like, people are weird about bisexuality and even pansexuality and stuff. I'm actually pansexual. I usually say, I like to say demisexual, but a lot of people don't know what that means.
I do know what it means. I'm on the other side of my jellyfish. So we have, this is what my cousin got me for my birthday. So it's bi on one side, and then we have asexual on the other side.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly, I usually sum it up with pansexual, but I don't know why. Honestly, labels are really hard for me too. So I kind of have a hard time. I'm very fluid, I feel like, in everything, like gender expression and sexuality. But my sexuality doesn't really show up until I've made an emotional connection. So I really think demisexual is the best way to describe it. But at the same time, not a lot of people
know what that means.
Yeah. So it's hard. And some people say, like, there are even people who argue that demisexual is a microaggression, and you shouldn't use it because it complicates and confuses things for younger people trying to find a label. And I just think that that's a really weird gatekeepy thing to say, because it's like, what do you mean? Like, I can't have this identity that I relate to. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, so I don't know. I just kind of try to stay away from labels sometimes, because if anybody really cares to know about my sexuality, I've said it a lot of times in interviews and stuff. I'm like, I'm pansexual. I relate a lot to the demisexual. I could use that term as well. Like, people can find it if they really care. But most people who just want to make me pick a label when I'm online saying that I'm a queer person just want something to I don't know.
They just want something to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Something to comment on. So I'm just if you really want to know, you can definitely Google it.
Yeah. Yeah. Queer gatekeeping is such a weird thing. Cause from as long as I can remember, when I started embracing my sexuality, it was always very before I realized I liked girls, there was always that asexuality, gatekeepy type of stuff. And now I just don't even engage with it anymore, because A, I'm tired, and B, I'm too old to be dealing with this nonsense anymore.
Yeah.
What I do doesn't affect anybody, so it's fine. I got really, really lucky that my first ever roommate in college, she was also asexual, so we didn't even have to have that kind of conversation. It was so nice.
That's really cool. Yeah, I was about to say, that's honestly, that's really cool. That's the universe giving you guys, a little bit of, safety right there.
And we look the same, too, so it was very, it was very funny. And nobody believed that she was a real person for, the
what
entire
is she,
time.
Your clone? She's your clone?
I guess so. But she was a theater major, so she'd work all these, weird hours. So when my friends would be over, she wouldn't be there. And they're like, I don't think you have a roommate. And I was like, no, I definitely do.
I would totally make that joke. I would be like, no, you're lying. Not here.
Okay, so I wrote down, I have all my questions, but they're all out of order because I just wrote them down as I thought about them. So I wanted to ask about the story behind Cross the Line. What is that about? Because I watched that video and I was like, gay shit. I love it. I said, damn, these bitches gay. Good for them.
I love that. Isn't that a TikTok? That is so funny. Oh my gosh, I love that reaction. So do you kind of mean the real background story of the lyrics, or maybe the music video, just how the project came together?
We can do both.
Okay, so I guess I'll start with the real story. So, and I'm pretty honest about my songwriting stuff. So this is going to be, I guess, quite specific, but I fell in love with somebody who lived halfway across the country, who was a little bit older than me. Not crazy. We're all of age and everything. It wasn't anything weird, but they were a couple of years older than me and they lived across the country. And I have never been so absolutely infatuated with someone in my entire life. And basically it was a roller coaster of emotions. I've never felt anything like that before. I had thought I literally met an extension to my soul in another person. I was just very much in it. And they really liked rock music and things that I liked. And for the first time in my entire life, I felt like I loved something or someone, I guess, as much as I loved music, which had never happened to me before. I'd never had somebody come into my life and hit me the way music did, with such an intense passion. And I ended up getting my heart broken in a pretty, I guess, extreme way. On my 21st birthday, I literally just got ghosted by this person. They just stopped talking to me, and we were literally in a relationship, and it ripped me apart. I went through so much time where I was wondering what I did wrong. what was so wrong with me that she wouldn't even give me an explanation, like, that she didn't, like, she was just gone, like, literally just gone all of a sudden. It felt like she had died, and even worse, she didn't. Like, I mean, well, it would have been worse if she did, obviously, but it just, like, even worse in mentally for me, because I felt like there was a reason. Like, she wasn't just taken tragically, like, she chose to, like, up and disappear. So there was a long period of time where I was really wondering if it was even ever going to be better. And that's kind of where Cross the Line, at least my side of Cross the Line, came in, because I also worked with Eli Strobeck, who's my producer on it. And he, this is where we get into the side of how it was made. So I actually had to go to therapy and everything to deal with the heartbreak, because it was so extreme. It felt like I had lost my identity, basically. And I went to therapy and I started to feel a lot better. But I finally got to this point where I was processing it and could talk about it. And it was like, you know, maybe a year later, we started recording. And my producer, Eli, he wrote actually the first two lines to Cross the Line. And he was like, I have this scene, like this idea in my mind where I'm like kind of picturing, like, you know, like he, in his mind, he had it like this first. He pictured like this couple, they go to the club together and then they leave separate. And that's like his song idea. And I told him, I was like, you know, it's kind of funny, like these lyrics really do hit home for me. So like, let's do it. Let's start on that idea. And then I'll take the rest of it and we'll make this into Cross the Line, what Cross the Line ended up becoming. So I applied a lot of my feelings about that time period where I wasn't sure if anything was ever going to get better. And I wasn't sure if we could save the relationship. And all I wanted was communication and I wasn't getting that. And that's where Cross the Line basically blossomed lyrically. And then for the music video, I just decided I wanted to actually, for the first time, put a real, like a full, completely clear image of a woman loving woman relationship, because I actually had a music video prior with Small Talks called Quiet Sounds, where I didn't want to reveal that my co-star was a woman. So I told the cameraman to film it in a way where you really couldn't see their identity and left it kind of androgynous. And this time I was like, no, I want to show people exactly the kind of emotional strength and passion that I felt and that most, you know, queer relationships do feel. And I like just really wanted to nail the head on that for Cross the Line. And then that's how basically we ended up with that music video. But I really think everything that I was aiming for really came through. I feel like it's a very intense video and song.
So when you write songs, like, does the music come first or like the lyrics? Which, what's your songwriting process like?
Now I prefer to start with the lyrics. So I do actually have a preference now, but it can really start from anything. Like sometimes I could just have a conversation with somebody and then I go home and I remember those few words that stuck and I can like play a couple chords and then all of a sudden I'm singing the words over the chords. So it started with the chords or it started with the conversation. Like it can kind of come from anywhere, but I do prefer typically now to start with lyrics. I think you have a stronger song that way.
So one of the things that I have been asking people in attempts to get to know them, because I haven't really made a lot of friends or had human connection in like over a year because I've just been at home. And so I Googled, I said, you know, what are some things to ask new people? And it gave me one option. And then I thought of another. So I'm going to ask you, cause I feel like we're at this point where like, I can ask you these kind of little weird questions.
Please. Yes.
So what is a movie that you have seen an uncomfortable amount of times?
Movie. Does it have to be movie? Can it be TV?
You can be whatever.
No. Okay. Sabrina, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch on Netflix. I have seen that at least like a million times, I feel like. I watch that all the time.
The Chilling Adventures or the original one?
The Chilling Adventures. So it would actually be the new one.
It's good. It bangs.
I'm obsessed. I mean, I literally just turn it on because it's like my comfort show sometimes. I just like to be like taken into that world. I think they did such a good job with like aesthetics. And I love witches. I guess another thing I definitely hyperfixate on. I love the idea of witches and like their, I don't know if you would call it culture, but like witch culture, I don't know. Women are more powerful in witch culture. I think that's cool. I don't know why. I just think it's funny how everything's reversed. Like they celebrate all kinds of sexuality. They celebrate all kinds of gender expression. Their fashion is A1, chef's kiss, like, okay, you know, and they, like, prefer, they think, like, women are incredible, powerful, above warlocks, and I just think that's fucking cool.
Like, yeah, especially because then they, instead of worshiping the devil, they went and worshiped Hecate instead.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the ending? Because I don't know if I was 100% satisfied with the ending that we received.
Not at all. I think they should have never canceled that show. They should have dragged it on to be like one of those super long 10 seasons things. I really think they could have. Like, the aesthetics were so strong, the storyline didn't need to be strong at all. They could have just, you know, done that thing. But the ending, I was so mad. I was like, I honestly was so mad. And I was just so sad. I didn't want it to end. But yeah, the ending was...
It was meh.
Yeah, I don't know what they were up to there. That was just...
Sometimes
we don't like when Sabrina doesn't win.
Yeah. Well, I know that, like, the people who do Riverdale also kind of worked on... So I was like, maybe they're all snorting cocaine together, and that's how we ended up with this. Because I don't watch Riverdale, but I kind of see the stuff that happens on Riverdale, and I'm like...
That's crazy.
I'm like, how? What? But then it helps me remember, and this is a piece of advice that I love to give out, is, you know, no matter how bad you think your piece of art is, people get paid to write Riverdale, and people still eat that up.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it'll never be as bad. I mean, not to discount anybody who likes Riverdale, but that shit's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely. I think even people who love Riverdale can agree that that storyline is just wild.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I watched the first season because I got queer baited. They hit me with the old bait and switch.
Yeah, Cheryl Blossom.
Yeah, they got me with, then they did. I don't think I watched it to the point where, like, but I knew that she was in a woman-loving-woman relationship because I see on, like, my Twitter timeline and stuff like that. But they got me with the Betty and Veronica, and I was like, yeah! I was like, fuck Archie, man. Like, get rid of him. We don't need him. And then they were like, surprise, it's just, it's fake.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that they had some scenes...
Get me with the old bait and switch every single time.
I love Cheryl Blossom. I'll be really honest. I have a crush on her. She's so pretty, but, you know.
She is very pretty. Madeline Petch, please. Hello. Watch my podcast, please.
Yeah, really.
Have you, I literally wrote down this question. Have you found your indie music loving GF yet?
Indie music loving GF. That is awesome. I don't think so.
It'll happen. I believe it. I'm manifesting it into the universe that you will find one because you deserve one.
Send me her.
Please. It was like, oh, what's that? I'm thinking of like this, I think it might have been a Vine where it was like, you know, God's timing is always right or something like that. And then
oh no.
I can't remember how it goes, but I remember I saw one. It was like, God, I know you said that I know I said I take anything you put in my life, but please, can we just try again?
That's so funny. I didn't like what you said. Please help.
Please, I would like a do-over. Command Z. So, since you've been on tour, have you received anything from fans, like gifts or anything?
Oh, yeah. Here, I'll show you one right now. It's literally right next to me. So, and the music video for Not Over You Yet. We had this big canvas painting where I was like marking down and tallying days that I basically haven't moved on yet, like mew. And this person literally remade that exact, like literally exact thing on like a piece of wood. They made this themselves and it's a game board and it has all these pieces and stuff and they shipped it to me. And I just like, I think it's called Mountain Thrift. Is there at Mountain Thrift? But, like, seriously, I thought it was the coolest thing. And I've gotten, like, lots of letters. I cannot believe how incredible some of, like, my fans' art and, like, way of talking is. Like, I love when they give me little, like, it seems really silly, but if anyone listening to this ever thinks about sending, like, an artist, like, a little, like, about you, like, you don't have to send an artist, like, obviously we appreciate it, but, like, we want to hear about you, too. Because, like, sometimes people will send stuff where it's, like, you know, like, I love you so much, like, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I really, really appreciate when people say, like, hey, I'm this person and this is what I'm into and this is what I do. And I just wanted to share my life with you for a second and tell you that your music really inspired me or something along the lines of that. That always hits a lot different because I love to see how people's lives are all over the world. I cannot believe I save everything. I save anything that is handwritten or sent to me. I always save it. I have a big box of it. I read those letters when I'm like, I don't know, feeling anything sad or just want to kind of pretend I'm like taking a trip or something somewhere else. Because I mean, I have letters from like France and like all these crazy places. I just can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it sometimes. And their handwriting is so beautiful and they send little art and like pictures and I love it.
That's awesome. Where's the farthest out that your music has made it to?
To be honest, I don't know. I have no idea because I actually am really, really bad at geography. So I have no idea what is the farthest, but I mean, it's been to like Mexico, like Australia, definitely Sydney, France, Bulgaria. I don't want to say any of the things wrong either. I have horrible, horrible pronunciation skills. I literally took speech classes in elementary school. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know. It's been everywhere, like even Russia and stuff like that. And that's really crazy too, because being a queer artist, like people in other countries who have it so much worse than Americans do, like they love to tell me about how much they love to see like somebody out there like kind of living their true life because they like literally can't without risking their life. And that's why I think it infuriates me so much when people say like, why does your sexuality matter? Or why does talking about your sexuality matter? Why do you talk about it? And it's like, dude, some people literally will die if they talk about it. Yeah. Like, shut your mouth. I will talk about it all I want, you know?
Like, you're like, zip it. Did I ask?
Yeah, like, just stop. Sit down. Go somewhere else with yourself.
So the one thing that I've been asking queer artists is, what do you think the gay agenda is? Because you know how they're always like, it's the gay agenda. What would be your gay agenda?
I want to be the gay Taylor Swift. Like, I know that Lady Gaga basically pioneered queer culture into the mainstream, but I want to hit the mainstream the exact same way that, like, Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber has, or even Ariana Grande, where it's a household name, but they also 100% know that I'm queer. Like, I want them to be fully aware. I want it to be, like, basically, like, Kaylee Spivey, queer. Like, I want them to literally tie those two things together because that's my gay agenda. I literally want queer culture to be in households. I don't want it to be a casual like, oh, I love Lady Gaga's music, and it's like, but did you know she's like, you know, gay, or she does this or that, and like she's like, you know, and it's like, I want them to 100% know, like 100%, and I want to talk about it and just bring it into like places like the Grammys and all these other things, and you know, I just want to talk about it. Like, I want it to be the front and center. I want it to be front and center. Like, that's what I want. I don't want it to be casual. I want it to be front and center.
You got to get one of those shirts that they wore on Glee when they did the Lady Gaga episode.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was the first thing that popped in my head, but speaking of the Grammys, wasn't it Common Ground? They did like a virtual Grammys type
of
thing.
Yes, it was so cute.
Did you win anything?
I love them for that. Yes, I won best pop artist, best new artist. And like, I won like a couple others. And I know it sounds like I won like a lot, but I promise there were tons of awards and a bunch of the Common Ground artists won it. But I won like mostly pop, best song and best new artist. And then I think best music video.
That's awesome.
It was very sweet.
Are they going to get you a little, are they going to get you like a little trophy or something?
I wish, but it was more just kind of like, you know, we get a participation trophy.
Yeah. You can put it on your resume if you ever need to be like, by the way.
I won the Groundies.
So my other question of like getting to know people better is, if you could teach a class on anything, like, and I mean like literally anything, it doesn't have to be something you learn in school, what would it be and why?
Damn, I've never thought about that. I think it would be fun to teach a class on like life in general, where I can just show people how to navigate life in a way that is confident and ambitious and like unlimited. Like, here's how to live life unlimited. It starts with you. Like, that would be my like little like catchphrase or something. And then I think if I was going to do one on like what I actually know and am good at instead of something that's so open, I'd probably do a class on probably be like stepping into yourself as an artist, like how to be the best artist you can be, how to find that confidence and really, you know, mold your your life and your, I guess you could call it your brand, but I think it's a lot bigger than just like, you know, your marketable aspects.
What would be your first lesson? Like, what would you open the class with?
For artistry?
Yeah.
I'd probably start with, who are you? Like, literally just a big question. Who are you? Tell me who you are. And then we would probably go about it with like actual like examples. I don't think I would be one of those like teachers who like, I'd be like, who are you? And I'd make people cry. And then they'd come back and be like, oh, you changed my life. And I'd be like, yes, I did. Like, very intense.
Should do a, you should see about doing like a master class. If you ever need, here's the thing. If you ever need to raise money, think of that as like doing that as like a master class or something.
That would actually be pretty cool. And I've had somebody like suggest that to me before, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to be a teacher. I don't know if I've ever felt that way.
Nobody ever has to be a teacher. Yeah, just be like a casual, be like, hey, I need to make money and here is a way that I will be doing that for my album. And then you can learn, you could learn how to do stuff.
People do ask me that a lot sometimes, questions about like being an artist and things and how to, I get asked a lot how to write songs and I'm like, that is such a broad topic. Sometimes I can't always like sum it up in like a quick post, but like, yeah, I get asked that a lot. I'm sure people would probably appreciate that. I thought about doing it on my Patreon once, like making it more like geared toward artists, but I don't know. I don't know.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah, you really can do so much in life.
So your so you just finished your EP?
Yes, one of them. I'm starting a different one. I'm beginning a different one. I was just fundraising for a brand new one with a new producer, and he's like, he's more well-known and, like, he's done a lot of work. He literally just worked with Demi Lovato, so he's a lot more expensive. But the songs that we're writing are incredible. So I'm very excited. I just finished one, and now I'm starting the next.
So when can we expect your EP?
Very, very soon. Okay. We're, like, in the plans of basically finalizing it right now. So it's very, very soon. And I hope the next one will be out by the end of the year, too, like, before the end of the year.
That sounds dope. So yeah. My last official question is, do you have any advice for creatives or just people who are generally scared to put their work out there?
Yes. Okay, so I had this quote and it stuck with me really hard, but sometimes people think they can't do something because somebody else already did it better, or like they don't think that they're good enough to do it. And I heard that basically the best thing, they might have already done it, but no one's done it through your voice, through your eyes. What makes you special is your unique perspective of life. And because your perspective is going to be unique, it's guaranteed that it's unique. It doesn't matter what life you've lived or what you've done, your perspective will be unique because that's basically all we really have as humans. We have this amazing perspective and it's cultivated from all of our experiences and memories and friends and everything that we've done. And only you have lived your life. Only you have lived your life. No matter how mundane you might believe your life to be, only you have lived your life. So your voice is important and it's unique innately, like unquestionably. So if you're going to make art and you have any doubts or fears, just remember that you are unique and you never know what you're going to say and how it could affect and reach other people. So you should just say it. Like, you should just say it. You shouldn't let anybody get in the way. You should say it. Your perspective will always be unique because you're the only one who can have it. You're the only one who's lived your life.
That is so solid. I love that. That is all my list of questions. So as they say on Hot Ones, you've completed the interview. You can go this camera, this camera, or this camera. You can tell the people what you have going on. Or if you want to plug anything, now is the time.
I'm going to be like Oprah Winfrey. Everybody gets a car.
You get a car. You get a car. You get a plug. You get a plug. You get a plug.
Yeah, really.
So there's anything that you want to add or just share? Now is the time. Because I'm all out of questions, so.
All I got is, like, live your life. Don't let the bad days rule. Bad days are only 24 hours.
Do you want to plug your social media or anything?
Yeah, sure. If anybody's watching this and they want to follow me, it is CayleySpivey. That's all my ats. I also have a website, and that's got everything, too, so. And I'm always open in the DMs. I always keep those open. So if you ever need anything or you want to talk, I am pretty responsive, I'd say.
Yeah, if you're an indie music loving girl, slide in the DMs. This is me manifesting it. Do it.
Hey, you see this? Wait, I got a dice roll. I don't even know how to do this. Hold on.
Daily dice roll walk.
I can't do it. Wait. Hey, mamas.